In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. So one day after a Sunday service, a parishioner approached her Episcopal priest in tears, and she was just overcome with emotion because her cat had recently passed away. And so she walked up to her priest and said, I would like for you to perform a service for my cat. And the priest responded, ma'am, I'm so sorry you lost your cat, but we don't do funerals for pets. Why don't you try the Methodist or Baptist church down the street? And the woman responded, I really love that cat, and I was planning on making a $1 million donation to the church in his honor. To which the priest replied, hold on, you didn't tell me your cat was an Episcopalian. In the early church, like today, there were plenty of conflicts between Christian communities. Not everyone was united in their beliefs, and sometimes they clashed with each other. And we see a small taste of that in today's gospel lesson. Jesus' disciples come across someone who, as they report, were casting out demons in your name. In other words, they come across someone who is healing and restoring a person all in Jesus' name, and they don't like it because he's different. He's an outsider. He's not one of them. And so one of the disciples, John, tells Jesus he was not following us. Notice the very subtle shift in pronouns here. This person is doing works in your name, Jesus, but he's not following us. And what's fascinating is that John almost seems to expect Jesus' approval here. After all, notice he doesn't ask Jesus a question like, should we have stopped him? Instead, he offers a very direct statement, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us. But far from giving his approval, Jesus corrects John and the others right away, stating, don't stop him. Whoever is not against us is for us. Now, it's important for us to note that just before this encounter in today's gospel lesson, the disciples have been arguing over which one of them was the greatest. And Jesus does something very interesting, something that would have been shocking to a first century audience. He picks up a child in his arms and he says, whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me. In Matthew's version, Jesus takes it one step further by saying, unless you become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Over and over again, when the disciples are fighting over positions of power, drawing lines and putting up walls, deciding who is in and who is out of God's kingdom, Jesus almost always does the same thing. He either picks up a child and holds him in his arms, or he begins speaking about a child, reminding them that the values of this world don't match up with the values of God's world. After all, children are powerless. They're vulnerable, and they're totally dependent upon others. Children aren't born knowing how to lie or wear a mask or pretend to be anything other than what they are. Children. Now, I happen to have two young children, and one of my sons loves to look at books and to make up his own story to go along with the pictures. And one of the books he likes to look at is a children's Bible that we use here in the St. Martin's Preschool. And I'll never forget driving him to school one morning and hearing him from the back seat turn to the last page of the children's Bible and say, and Jesus said to the people, you're welcome. The end. That's a great ending, isn't it? There's something that's so refreshing and powerful about a child's honesty and transparency that reminds us of who we really are, God's beloved children. The Presbyterian minister and author Frederick Buechner puts it like this. He says, we are children at the very moment when we know that it is as children that God loves us, not because we have deserved his love, and not in spite of our undeserving, not because we try, and not because we recognize the futility of our trying, but simply because God has chosen to love us. And so Jesus, in today's gospel, still holding the child in his arms, warns his disciples by using some pretty harsh and graphic language. He uses images of drowning and self-mutilation and fires never going out, words that aren't typically associated with Jesus, but these words can be easily misunderstood. These words aren't to be taken literally, but they are to be taken very seriously. And that's Jesus's point. After all, by chastising this outsider who is doing good deeds in Jesus's name, the disciples are drawing lines, and they're putting up walls, trying to protect themselves, trying to protect Jesus, determining who is in and who is out. So Jesus essentially tells them, guys, knock it off. I don't need or want that kind of protection. Look at the little ones, not just the children, but the weak and the vulnerable, the marginalized and the outcast. They're the ones that need protecting. The last thing Jesus wants the disciples or us to do is to keep people out. He's not forming some sort of exclusive club, but a movement that would show God's radical love and grace for every single human person. I don't know about you, but every time I think I've made my circle of inclusion wide enough, Jesus says, no, make it wider. Every time I think I've drawn an appropriate line in the sand between us and them, between saints and sinners, between those on the inside of the church and those on the outside, Jesus scatters sand all over those lines until they disappear. Whoever is not against us is for us. Dr. Francis Collins is the American doctor and geneticist who is responsible for heading up the Human Genome Project. And his work is the basis of some really groundbreaking medicine that has saved lives and will continue to save lives in the years to come. He is also a very open and vocal Christian. And because of this, he has endured a lot of ridicule over the years from his fellow scientists. And he has even publicly debated with well-known atheists like Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins. After Hitchens was diagnosed with cancer, Collins spent hours with his family, going over choices for treatment and helping him find the most cutting-edge test. After Hitchens was diagnosed with this throat cancer, he received many filled letters of hate from Christians who took pleasure in this predicament, and they saw it as a punishment directly from God. Some claimed that God had given Hitchens this type of cancer to stop him from speaking blasphemy. Yet in one of Hitchens' last columns, he paid tribute to Dr. Francis by describing him as a selfless Christian physician and a great humanitarian. Hitchens praised his work at helping science and religion begin to speak to each other. But what most impressed Hitchens about Dr. Francis was the fact that he visited him while he was sick. He sat with him in the hospital. He listened to him and did everything in his power to help him and to help his family. Hitchens may have died an atheist, but all Dr. Collins ever saw was a child of God, made in God's image. The good news found in today's gospel is that God doesn't play favorites. God loves all of us equally without limit, including those we don't like and disagree with, and including those who don't like us. God loves those on the inside of the church and those on the outside. God's love is ceaseless and shameless and always inclusive. and no one is ever left out except those who refuse to enter. So today, may God give us his grace not to see other people as strangers and outsiders and enemies, but as God's beloved children. Today, may we boldly step over any lines that we have drawn, not because we have to and not because we ought to, but because maybe, just maybe, God waits for us on the other side. Amen.